In my experience, it's the ones, it's not, and I hear you in terms of that drive, you know, it can be moved towards or move away from, you know,
yes.
So,
yeah.
To me, it's the guys that find a way to create a habit and a routine out of it, you know, what gets scheduled gets done, and to fall in love, whether or not they were into fitness before, to fall in love with the feeling of being fit.
Yeah.
They almost like a drug, they can't do without it, and as opposed to the goal or the outcome. So it's great to say, I want to lose 20 kilos, but if you're just wedded to that number, my experience is guys that will, you know, will do that. I've done this before. I've hit a number and then put half of it back on because, you know, it's done. What's next? You know, so.
Welcome to Unstoppable. Are you tired of inspiration and ready for action? Are you ready to study the process of success? My name is Ralph Graves Jr. And on this show, we will hear stories of amazing people who are not just dreaming, they're actually living the life they want. Now, if you're ready to start moving toward the dreams you know you can reach, you are in the right place. This is Unstoppable with Ralph Graves Jr. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to Unstoppable. As you heard in the intro, my name is Ralph Graves Jr. and I'm just so glad and excited that you chose to listen to this podcast. Now today I have the founder of Fit After 50 or Fit After 50, and he helps men over 50. Move from desk jobs to go from belly fat to body fit, simply and healthy, and get this, without dieting. We're going to talk about that, without dieting. Change your body, change your life is the motto. Ladies and gentlemen, meet my new friend, Mark Pitcher. How are you, sir?
Mark Pitcher is very good. Thanks for having me, and great to be here. Thank you.
Man, thank you for jumping in. And like I said earlier, man, coming on this podcast and making this podcast a better podcast. I read it in the bio, but go a little bit deeper. Tell my audience, as they're driving and listening, what exactly you do.
Okay, so what I do is I help men over 50, usually with desk jobs or sedentary jobs, to lose the belly fat and to get super fit, what I call body fit. But in a very simple, healthy way that is sustainable for the long term, without dieting, without giving up all of their favorite foods, without giving up alcohol completely. And that's what I do in a bunch of words.
Can you tell me what is body fit? I know that's different for everybody. What do you consider body fit?
You know what? It's just being fit inside and out. And it's a phrase that I coined because, to be honest, I was thinking about the things like this podcast or my Instagram page, or whatever, you know, how can I sum this up in words that sound? And a lot of guys, I'm 55, we carry belly fat, and it's not something that we want to have a lot of for several reasons. And I just thought, well, what do we want then? Well, we want to be fit. We want to be super fit. And I just, you know, it's fit, body fit. This, yeah.
Good.
Nothing much more than that.
It doesn't have to be deep. Sometimes it just works.
Exactly. It's just simple.
It just works. How'd you get into this, Mark? How'd you get into to doing this for men?
How'd I get into it? I got into it, I almost want to say, not say by accident, but I inspired by my own personal journey on it, which is probably true of a lot of people. I found myself, look, I'll give you the, you know, we've got limited time, so I'll give you the short version. I was, if I go back 10 years, a little less even, I was working a desk, you know, a mostly sedentary job, stuck at the laptop. And I had fitness in my life, kind of, you know, I'd run now and again, and I'd go to the gym now and again, but no, And, you know, I was professionally what some people we regard as successful. You know, I had a successful job, a lovely family, but very gradually, year on year, I was just putting on an extra kilo and then an extra kilo. So I suddenly found myself in my late 40s with this body that I didn't really like. And it wasn't really about weight so much. It was about the energy. I was starting to feel sluggish. I've never been a massive drinker, but I was drinking too much probably. And that was my situation. And, you know, there I was merrily going along my way. I was at a point in my career where I knew I needed a change and I wasn't quite sure what it was. And very sadly and tragically, one July day in 2016, I lost my eldest son to suicide.
Oh man. Sorry.
Completely. Thank you. No, thank you for saying it. I'm happy to share it. And it's, it was completely out of the blue. It was a complete shock to all of us in the family. And I'm blessed with other children, other boys. But it acted as a pivotal moment in my life, you know. And when I'd come out of my initial shock, mm-hmm. and the kind of heaviness and the darkness that surrounds something like that, you know, I knew I had a choice to make. And how was I gonna, you know, move forward? How was I gonna live my life? All these big questions I've never really asked myself, you know, about what my purpose is and why we're all here. And it kickstarted a new journey for me, which took me via coaching, mindset coaching, and fitness became really big for me and important, health and fitness. And I started taking it really seriously. And it kind of, it's an interesting point with fitness because I can see how people might, and I wouldn't judge anybody for it, you know, hit anything, you know, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs. And I would almost understand because you're trying to fill this void, this hole in your life. And, you know, fortunately, if that's the right word, I found fitness, threw myself into it, went on this, you know, journey with it. And kind of got fit-ish. And then latterly, took it even more seriously, got it into my routine. And basically the short version of that is that I lost 20 kilos over a period of about, you know, a year, 18
wow.
months.
Wow.
Slowly and steadily, and got into really, really great shape, which I've got my energies off the charts. And I just... And I kind of found myself, and I'm missing loads out, but in amongst that, of course, we had COVID and lockdowns and all these things, which gave me a lot of time to reflect and think. And I just found myself one day, you know, come back to answer your question, I suppose, you know, bring it up to date, is I found myself in the gym doing a workout, thinking to myself, you know, there's something I need to do here. There's something I'm not quite aware. It's to do with coaching. I think I want to help people again. You know, I want to do it, you know, and what is it? And then I suddenly looked at myself. I thought, Mark, you're doing it. You're doing it yourself. And I thought, having had the success with it and what it's done for me, I thought, I want to bring that to other people. And sometimes they say the best people to coach are who you were, you know, 5-10 years ago. And
sure,
I'm kind
sure.
of coaching a previous version of myself, really. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, man, what a story, man. And thank you for sharing that story, man. Thank you for taking us through, man. You know, and you're definitely, man, you and your family are definitely, will continually be in my prayers, man, you know, with everything going on. But that's something, man, that through pain, we can often find some things that we may not have discovered before, prior to the pain. And yours was fitness, man. And I like what you said, you got fit-ish. And I think before you got fit-ish. And I think that's where a lot of guys over 50, the weekend warrior, I think that's where a lot of us kind of settle in. We get fit-ish. We kind of accept, okay, I'm not 30 anymore. But I don't look bad. I look around, I see guys older than me or my age look worse than me. So I'm fit-ish, but I haven't reached my peak potential. I have seen, and I have this, we're living a day and age, man, where it seems like men like you are coaching men like me to kind of turn back the hands of time when it comes to our health and wellness. Our fathers, you know, they beat their bodies up. You know, my grandfather, I mean, they, you know, like everybody else's, I guess, or a lot of people, they die before 70. They die, or if, you know, they live long, they're all beat up, man. But you have really begun to teach us to turn back the hands of time when it comes to our health and wellness. So here I am. I'm 55. I'm coming to you. I'm a new client. How do we get started? I'm looking, you know what? I'm saying to you, hey, Mark, I realize I'm not out of shape, but I'm not in shape. And you said that I can still do this without a whole bunch of dieting. Talk to me. How do we get started?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. I think, you know what, before we even go near a fitness plan or a meal plan or any kind of program, in fact, this is for anybody, before you go near a coach, the first thing I would do is encourage you to keep, just to document a little food diary. Doesn't have to be for a long period of time, can be a week, can even be 3 or 4 days. And if you're going to pick 3 or 4 days, maybe pick like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, right. And just note down what you eat, you know, when you're eating it, how you're feeling when you're eating it, and just create a little bit of it. It's almost just like you're stepping outside of yourself and observing, oh, it's interesting. Yeah. And everything, you know, like I just pinched a rice cracker from the cupboard and I just had a bit of this and a bit of that. And it's a great starting point because it's the truth. It becomes your truth and it's a starting point and we can build from there. And I think the second thing then really, you know, it sounds obvious, but it's like, what do you want? What are you looking to get from this? Are you looking to, you know, and I think of it like a traffic light system, you know, so there'll be guys, let's say the green guys, and I don't mean little green men, but you know, the green guys will be like, look, I'm in pretty good shape. I, you know, I do sport, I play tennis, I play soccer, whatever I do. But I want to lose, you know, 4 or 5 kilos for the summer, or I want to know what else I can do, or maybe their diet's off, and they like, what should I be eating? So they need a different kind. If you're that kind of guy, you need, you know, one type of coaching and one type of program. And then you got the kind of the other end, the red guys who are just like, they're it's all collapsed. It's like, I'm massively overweight, or, well, it doesn't even have to be massively overweight, but they're overweight for their size. They don't feel great. They've hit a point. And this is different for different people. They've just reached a moment where they've gone enough.
Okay.
And it could be that they had to move seat on the aeroplane because they took up too much space, or it could be on the, you know, they got kicked off a ride because they were too big, or they just saw a photo of themselves, a holiday snap or in the mirror, or somebody said something, a comment or whatever it was, that they've reached this point. And they need real help to kind of, they're starting from like, help me here. I don't know. My eating's, everything's off and I need a rhythm and a routine. And then you kind of got the guys in the middle who probably were guys like me, you know, the amber guys, if I can stay with the traffic light analogy. I don't know how well that's holding up. Those are the guys like me who were kind of fit-ish or like, yeah, I don't look too bad. You know, I look at guys around me, exactly as you said earlier, like, The weight loss doesn't have to be about like, hey, I weighed, you know, whatever it is, you know, 150 kilos and now I'm, you know, there's a plenty of us, probably a majority of us guys in that in-between phase where we've kind of, yeah, we're okay-ish. But, you know, there's actually no real science or plan or understanding. Some of it's education around, you know, all calories are not created equal. Right. So they're the kind of guys who go, and a lot of these guys actually probably have at any point tried some kind of diet. I mean, I have like, I'm going to eat salads for a week. Ah, you know what? I'm going to do that protein. I'm going to do those shakes, or right. I'm going to do 5-2 or whatever it is. But for whatever reason, that hasn't worked in the long term and they've fallen off it. And what I'm all about is, and it doesn't sound very sexy in an age where everybody wants everything now. They want, you know, like right. I see these, like, do these 20 exercises for a month and then get ripped. And my experience is that always will have an expiry date, and you will lose weight and you will get, but you'll put it all back on again. And it's finding something, back to the point about not giving things up, that people can is practical. Because I can tell you how to do a set of burpees and tell you how many calories you're going to burn. But if you don't like enjoy doing burpees, you're not going to last more than a few weeks doing that. So right. I need to, it's about finding things, actually, back to your question, that people enjoy doing. And I would even class move, I wouldn't even call it exercise at this stage. It could be any kind of movement. It could be going for a walk. It could be swimming. It could be dancing. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. Now they tell me that an hour walk a day, an hour walk or every day. And I have a couple guys in my neighborhood, and they're older gentlemen, and I see them walking every day. And I'll tell my wife, I said, their quality of life is going to be phenomenal. They said an hour walk a day is just as good as running 3 times a week. Is that correct? As far as
yeah, it can be. And I think some of it depends on your body, you know. Some people will come with ailments or injuries or say, look, you know, I can't run, or I injured my knee playing football and I can't run anymore. So again, it's about finding what's good. Walking is great. Walking is massively underestimated, and it's just always a good thing. Yeah. And I say to, you know, people to me have, in my experience, I include myself in this, you can have on days, the on days where, you know, you're doing your workout or your thing or your sport, and your eating's on point, and you've got your calorie deficit and you've lost a bit, yeah, and you're great and you feel great. And those are, and you know, fantastic, you know?
Sure.
You get your planned off days, which is where we all deserve a break, and I believe in rewards and having, like, I'm just going to chill out at home. I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest my body. It's not about going at it, you know, 24/7 every day. And that's good as well. But there's these kind of on-off days where you planned, you know, I call them, they're almost like office days. So I was going to go out. I was going to work out. I was going to eat this, but then I had back-to-back meetings, and then this happened and that happened, and it didn't happen for me. And then I'm always like, okay, there's an area of compromise here. You can either compromise the meal you were going to eat and eat less of it, or something different, or one less meal possibly, or you get your steps up and you're just finding an opportunity just to get some, you know, get 10, 12,000 steps in, just to pick an arbitrary number. And so walking, to your point, is a great way to do it. You know what? I'm going to walk around the block. You know, and if you have a dog, easy. If you don't have a dog, then, you know, just going for a walk, like those guys you were describing, an hour a day, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about mindset, man. Because I think, I mean, for me, you know, now, let me just ask you, what do you find is typically the best mindset? We have these men and women, and we're talking about men now, 50 plus, may have had the office job, may have low testosterone, may have low T right at this point in their lives. They're kind of maybe depressed that they're not the athletes that they once were, or they realize that they're not in shape. Who do you find, or maybe it's a health risk, in your working with men, do you find that your hardest workers are those that have had some health scare, some sort of painful memory? Because there has to be fuel. It has to be more. I mean, for me, it's more than just looking good. I mean, I'm going to be completely transparent with you, man. I am
trying to avoid all of the health. I will avoid. I'm not going to say try because my mindset is I will avoid all of the things that my father and that generation suffered with from this American diet. You're over in the UK, but for this American diet with the diabetes, with the cancer, my motivating factor every day for doing what I do is to never be in that wheelchair. It's to never have to go into dialysis. It's to never have to lose. I'm not in charge of my length of life. That's to my Heavenly Father. But He's left me in charge of my quality of life. And that's been my driving force. So who and I don't want to say who's the most successful or who do you come across the most at 50 plus when it comes to their driving factor into getting fit, staying fit, and preserving their quality of life? What type of man do you come across?
It's a great question. And I love the way that you kind of found yours. In my experience, it's the ones, it's not, and I hear you in terms of that drive, you know, it can be moved towards or move away from, you know.
Yes.
To me, it's the guys that find a way to create a habit and a routine out of it. You know, what gets scheduled gets done. And to fall in love, whether or not they were into fitness before, to fall in love with the feeling of being fit.
Yeah.
They almost like a drug they can't do without it. And as opposed to the goal or the outcome. So it's great to say, I want to lose 20 kilos. But if you're just wedded to that number, my experience is guys that will do that. I've done this before. I've hit a number and then I'm going, I mean, put half of it back on because you know, it's done. What's next? You know, but when you get used to that feeling, and I would say, and I love the way that you came about it. Cause for me, broadly speaking, my experience of guys that approach, well, in my world anyway, there'll be three principal reasons. There'll be the health scare, you know. So one reason is longevity. It's staying out of hospital.
Right.
It's staying off medication.
Yes.
You know, forever or for as long as possible. It's being in, you know, I always say to people, what do you want your last 10 years of your life to look like? Do you want to be independent and mobile? Or, you know, what do you want that to look like? And so that's one big driver for some people. For some people, because they've had that health scare or they've had something on a chart or a doctor say something to them that scared them. But that sometimes is not enough for some people because it's too far away. I used to do that. I used to sit there and say, well, I want to get fit because I want to live a long life and be there for my children when I'm older. And then you go, yeah, do you want a Mars bar? Yeah. Oh yeah. One's not going to hurt because it's too far away. It's like, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. But and then, so then you've got this like second big driver, which I tapped into, which is I want energy. I want more energy and I want it now.
Yeah.
I want it right now. I've got an 11-year-old son. My youngest son is 11.
Wow.
He's training to be a goalkeeper. He wants to kick the ball with me in our garden every day.
Yeah.
And I want to be the kind of dad that goes, yeah, let's go and do that.
Sure.
Not, daddy's a bit tired today. So that, you know, quality immediate. So that's that feeling every day. So, you know, like, oh yeah, this feels good. So you get the immediate reward. And then the third one probably is, and I'm going to, you know, people will shoot me down for this or some people will, but I believe there's a little bit of this in all of us guys is I want to look good in my pants and I want to look good in my swimming trunks. And I want to be attractive to my, you know, to my partner, to my, you know, wife.
Oh, I agree. I don't disagree. Listen.
And that is extrinsic, not intrinsic, but there's a bit of that in all of us, I think. And I've got that. I'll be lying if I said.
Oh yeah, I've got that. I've got a lot of that.
My look is part of it in some way, but it can't be all of it, I think, because if it's just that, it's not going to be enough to make you go to the gym 4 or 5 days every, you know, week.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this is good stuff, man. Like we all have different motivating factors. And don't be ashamed of that, man. I got a lot of that, man. Listen, you could talk to me for a while. You'd be like, yo, this guy is really kind of twisted in the head. Listen, and the reason why I say that is I don't think I should walk in the room with my wife. Not that she would ever be, but she should not ever be embarrassed by the way I look.
Right.
Ever. I tell people, if I got to be her trophy piece, I'll be her trophy piece. She should never be embarrassed. by the way I look, you know? And so I have a lot of that. So there's a lot of motivating factors. And, you know, I mean, I like feeling good. I like being able to, I like my mobility. I like the fact that I don't have to be on blood pressure medicines and prescription drugs and things like that. And so I really appreciate what you're doing with Guys 50 plus. All right. So we're doing, you're doing great and you're doing big things with guys our age. What would you tell that 35-year-old man who just keeps throwing them back? He keeps throwing them the beer back, eating pizza unlimited, doing what, you know, living recklessly, the 25 to 30-year-old. Because if it's, you know, if God is good to him, he's going to be our age. I heard an American baseball player, Mickey Mantle, say this one time, and I crack up and I kind of put it in my back pocket. He said, if I had known I would have lived this long, I would have took better care of myself.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's a tricky one, because why should they listen to me, some guy 20 years
old? Right. That's the way I see it. Yeah.
Listen, it's a tricky one. I would, you know, it's interesting you say that. Because I've got boys in their early 20s now, you know, and their lifestyle's very different from mine, even though one is an avid gym goer. Yeah. I think for me, and this is, I guess I should caveat this. This is not about fat shaming or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
I just believe that it's not all about how you look. It's not how the body looks. It's what the body's capable of.
Sure.
And actually, so I guess what I would be saying to them is this association. Think about how much more I guess first question is, have you achieved everything you want out of life? Is there something that you really want that you haven't achieved yet? Could be anything, could be money, status, whatever, sure. Promotion, whatever it is. Sure. If the answer is no, like, are you completely satisfied with everything in your life? The answer is no, then you could be so much more capable and do so much more if you got your body into shape. And this connection between mind and body, to me, it's almost like it's not even a discussion. You know, it's like this, there's more and more neuroscience all the time that to prove that there is such a connection. And, you know, you said it earlier, I think, fit body, fit mind. And I think it doesn't matter which way around you approach it. Right. But I found that, you know, and I would just try and bowl them over with my sort of passion for this, but it goes down to identity. So me talking about looking good in the mirror and looking good in my pants or whatever,
right,
comes back to my identity. I feel like a different guy. I actually look at Mark Pitcher. Mark Pitcher, 55, looks at Mark Pitcher in 35 and kind of, I've got a lot of affection for that guy. I've got a lot of empathy, a lot of understanding. They, you know, young family, different stage of life, different sure. You know, peer pressures, different things, you know, still trying to make it here or there, and maybe hasn't fully figured themselves out yet, you know, trying to keep their relationship going, all those things, pay the mortgage. It's tough. And, you know, but if I knew then what I know now, I would have been like, had my gym gear by the side of the bed the next day, because you know, I could have achieved more if I honestly believe that. And I think they could. So I would be trying to fire them up to using fitness as a vehicle to something that they really want to get out of life. You know, maybe do it that way rather than just shove a dumbbell in front of them and say, hey, how many reps can you do? You know?
Yeah. And I want to be clear too, man, that this fitness thing is, it does really help the mind. It really helps my mind more so, you know, like you said, you know, looking good, feeling good of what I perceive to be looking good and feeling good for me is one thing, but you know, it's something going on, bad day or just something on your mind, man, nothing really clears the air like a good workout.
That's right. I mean, there's a quote and I can't remember who said it and I've seen it, you know, we said, I regret that workout, said nobody ever, you know.
Right.
And for me, the victories are not the days when you're feeling on it and feeling great and up out of bed at 6 a.m. or whatever. Yeah. It's the days that are, You don't feel like it. You don't hit the personal best. You just don't want to be there, but you do it anyway. And those are the victories, definitely, for me.
Let me ask you this before we close this out. What have been some of your biggest challenges that have gotten in the way of you reaching your full potential? What have been some of your biggest challenges that have gotten in your way?
That's easy. chocolate, cake. Right. I've got a sweet tooth. In fact, is that an expression in the States? In England, we say sweet tooth.
Yes, you said chocolate, right? You said chocolate.
Yeah, you like sweet things. Yeah, you like sugary treats, donuts.
Yeah, that's me. You must have peeked in my house last night at 10 o'clock when I'm snacking and I shouldn't be.
Oh man, it's look, we're human, we're not machines. I've got a pretty, so in England we have this expression though, in the UK, like a sweet tooth, which is a very polite way of saying a sugar addiction, really.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to sugar. I admit that I'm an emotional eater. And look, for all the talk of fitness, for me, I believe that, like a flat stomach or abs, if you want to go further, it's maybe...
Wait a minute. Abs still exist? I haven't seen mine in so long, but they're still there.
They're there somewhere, yeah. But they're made in the kitchen, not in the gym,
Right, and yeah, I understand.
So my biggest challenge always is food, always. Even now, I lost 20 kilos, I'm fit, I've got a fitness story. And two nights ago, I was eating rice crackers and peanut butter at 10:30 at night. I'm like, what am I doing? So, but I look at it, there'd be a reason for it. And I'll be like, I didn't get enough protein, didn't drink enough water, I felt tired, willpower, And you get back on it. It's not gonna kill you. But it's, yeah, it is. It's working out. For me, it's sugar. Some people, it might be something different. But I have to manage that. I have to kind of get really self-aware and get support. I say to my family, I'm feeling a bit tired today. So it's highly likely between 6 and 9 p.m. this evening, I'm going to be reaching for the biscuit jar. So if I do that, stop me or ask me if I really need that. Sometimes you need a bit of that, but it's a challenge. Yeah, it's a challenge because we're all products. We're all shaped by our upbringing and conditioned by... And that stuff is hard to, hard to shake off. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, this has been great today, man. Now, how can my audience find you? I know you're in the UK, but I have UK listeners. And if someone wants to work with you, hey, with technology today, I'm sure that you can work together via even what we're doing now. So how can my audience reach out to you, man, whether they're 50 plus or know somebody who's 50 and over and needs to work with you? How can they find you?
Yeah, sure. Look, my three platforms are Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, actually. LinkedIn.
Okay.
So they can find me on there, Mark Pitcher, P-I-T-C-H-E-R. And on Instagram and Facebook, it's Mark Pitcher, Fit After 50.
Okay.
Let me get this right. Instagram is Mark Pitcher _ Fit After 50. The 50 is 50, the digits. And Facebook is Mark Space Pitcher Fit After 50, and Mark Pitcher on LinkedIn, and they'll find me there. You can just DM me, send me a message through that, and you'll find me.
Oh, man, that's great stuff, man. Now, I like to end with a couple questions. I used to ask the question, what would you tell a younger version of yourself, until I realized that my younger version was so hard-headed, he wouldn't have listened to a word I said anyway. So I changed the question. If I ran into my younger self, he's just as arrogant and wouldn't hear me anyway. So I wouldn't say anything to him. But my question is, if you could have a billboard anywhere in the world, Mar, where would it be and what would it say?
Oh, wow. What a question. Never had that one before. I love that. if I could have a billboard anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say? Okay. Because I'm in the UK,
okay,
and football or soccer, as you call it, is massive.
Yeah.
And it's, a lot of guys, I mean, guys and men and women, the women's game is massive now, but a lot of guys, it's a big common denominator for not all, but many guys.
Right.
So I would take out a billboard at Wembley Stadium on the cup final day, which is kind of our Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have a message on there, which would be something along the lines of use it or lose it, change your body, change your life. And I would have some, that's, yeah.
I love it. Hey, man, it's no right or wrong answer. It's your answer. It's no right or wrong answer. I love it. Thank you for being on the Unstoppable podcast. I definitely want to have you back. Will you come back later on when we come back and check in? And guys, you've been listening to Unstoppable podcast. His name is Mark Pitcher. You can follow him on the platforms. He said follow him on and DM him and begin to work with him. And guys, again, thank you for listening to this program. And let's be unstoppable together. I'll see you next time. God bless.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Unstoppable. If you like this show, my only request is that you share it with someone you know who needs to hear it. A huge part of the journey of success is doing it in community. So I want you to share this episode with a friend of yours. And if you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me a DM on Instagram at Ralph Reeves Jr. with one thing you loved about this episode, and I will make sure to give you a shout out. I'll see you next week on Unstoppable.